Hello and welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher. I'm in conversation with Lynn Worsley, clinical psychologist and director of the Resilience Centre, with part two of our three-part series of conversations on forgiveness. Before we get practical with all this, a quick recap on where we've been so far in this series.
At the Resilience Centre, the psychologists that we have here are very interested in the dynamics and the systems around a person when they're going through trauma. And we're also interested in the thinking process that occur during those dynamics. So there's been a lot of work that we do that unpacks the situation and unpacks the things that have happened that lead to other things or to other people in the system.
It's interesting to me because I've known you for a long time, and the work here, it's more than just kind of churning people through the front door.
Oh, absolutely.
You're doing lots of data and asking yourself lots of questions about this kind of thing.
Yes, we really like to unpack the process that we've got in front of us. So the process of forgiveness itself applies the scientific principle, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And so last week we applied this to when someone or something hurts us terribly, and we looked at how the forgiveness process is one of the proactive response to another when they've hurt you.
Yes.
That means that we harness the reactive response in us and stop and consider the perspective of the other person and have a proactive response, which either stops the abuse or stops us from contributing to the hurt by our reaction to it.
Yes.
It also allows an environment where the change can occur in the other person. So this process allows us to have time to consider how the relationship we're in is a system and how our part in the system can enable abusive behaviour and disable a person seeking help.
Can you explain that in practical terms? Because I think let's flesh out, okay, what's the system thing about?
Okay. So example, a woman who's been abused by her alcoholic husband can think she's being a forgiving person by continually taking him back after each abusive episode. She might keep the abuse and the alcoholism a secret from other people and cover up the effects of the abuse so that she won't embarrass him or the family. So she thinks she's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But in her eyes, she may also do this because she wants to show respect for him, but underneath she really believes she deserves it.
I bet.
Yeah.
Which you can understand.
Yeah. So all this does is enable the abuse to continue. So it becomes a system. It makes her a martyr in her own mind, and it gives him the message that he's justified to do what he does. It also stops him from getting help from his violence and his alcoholism,
yes.
And it prevents him from having a deep and satisfying relationship with his wife, where he's asked to go deeper into himself and challenge his own growth. The question here is, who's doing the abuse? So here, forgiveness can look like it's condoning the abuse rather than forgiving the person.
Of course.
So if we unpack this example and look at real forgiveness, we see that forgiveness starts with self-respect. If the woman in the example had self-respect when her husband abused her, then she's got a number of reactions that she can choose.
These are the kind of options we talked about in our first podcast conversation about forgiveness.
Yeah. So one reaction could be that she can get angry in response or to abuse him back and exercise control in sort of harmful ways, such as withdrawing sex, using snide remarks in public about his alcohol use, put him down in front of the kids, make him out to be a monster to other people. She'd gain a lot of sympathy.
Yeah, and you'd understand too.
Yeah, yeah, and that'd isolate him even further, causing the system to continue by his own way of getting power is to drink and hit her.
Yeah.
Okay, so another reaction would be to get sad and depressed and withdraw and secretly hide from him until he realised he'd hurt her and begin to buy, and then he starts to buy her back by being nice to her.
No guarantees with that though.
No.
Of course.
But maybe that would just continue the abuse again.
Or
she could really show an action of forgiveness by seeing him as a person needing to have help and needing to respect himself as a person, rather than having to enforce his own power on other people to feel strong.
Mm.
If she really forgave him, she'd allow the process of his change to start and to consider the actions that would lead him to others that would help him. He is not bad or unforgivable. He's just not well. And he's a human being, but rather a human being that needs to have some help.
Yeah.
And needs to continue the process of growth.
I guess it's also assuming that he's open for change.
Yes.
And there's no guarantee with that.
That's right. That's right. But it is actually a helpful space to be in. So her proactive response then would be to make the abuse known to someone who could help him and someone who may support him to make the changes he needs to make.
So asking questions of yourself is often a helpful way forward. What sort of questions could she be asking in this particular context of herself?
Well, the first one would be, what would I do if I wasn't afraid? Also, what would I do if I wasn't so hurt? Or what would I do if I felt completely okay about myself and not affected by the situation? So again, takes away that crumbling effects of trauma and gives you a clarity. It also gives you a list of responses that would take her out of the situation and help her to see what she might need to do to get help.
We're not talking fantasy land here, though.
No, no.
Asking these kind of questions.
No. We're actually talking about getting the problem off your shoulders and out of your head and giving you some clarity and see how you might think differently.
Yeah.
You know, having that might actually help her to see someone in her community for support, because that's a sign of resilience. She might be able to seek an AVO with the police, and because the police have access to counsellors and advisors.
Yes.
She might be confronted with the issue of violence by having to face court or family in the community, but in the process, he might be forced to seek help with a counsellor or a psychologist who could help him with his anger and his need for power over other people. So the important part here is that her action of forgiveness enables him to change and helps him to go through the process.
Yeah.
It might mean that he's able to come back home, but those who care and can help with the relationships to have healthy boundaries around when he does come back home.
Yes, yes.
And he may have a process of forgiveness and helping him, but in a sense, her move to that process of being able to let go the effects of the trauma would be really to help actually love him better and forgive him by getting him to seek help.
Yeah. It's going to be hard though, but especially we're thinking of the bigger picture in this, I guess, and perhaps a different goal of forgiveness when it's a relationship between a couple.
It certainly makes a difference when there's a relationship with a couple. It's a very tight system and a very big dynamic that goes on between them.
You're listening to the Human Condition podcast. I'm in conversation with Lynn Worsley on forgiveness. Next up, Lynn comes up with a surprise, at least to me. Even as these dynamics are being played out in a couple, and it's really tough stuff, she wouldn't call that a relationship.
Oftentimes when there's a couple relationship, when there is abuse going on, it really is no longer a relationship. It becomes a dynamic.
Now that's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really helpful for us to not think there's a domestic relationship, a domestic violent relationship or a violent relationship. It's not a relationship. It becomes a power and control dynamic. And so if you start thinking of it that way, then we need to disturb the power and control dynamic. And if you really want to have a relationship with that person, you need to move away from that power and control.
Wow. I hear so many things in these conversations for the first time. I've never heard that before. Let me change kind of gears a bit. What happens if there's someone, say in a business situation or a work situation, where the person has deliberately lied to us, hurt us, cheated on us?
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
But if we consider the action of forgiveness as being enabling the other person towards wholeness or growth, then again it means that we must take ourselves out of the picture or away from the crime.
Can you give us another practical example of that perhaps?
So let's go in a business partnership.
Yep.
Okay. Let's say the business partnership has been happening over a number of years, but then one partner decides he'll do better to set up a similar business by himself and could make money without the other partner. This is a fairly common situation.
Yeah, I bet.
He decides to secretly and gradually take clients and the resources to help set up a new business, and it takes a process of about 18 months, and it's all done on the sly with no consultation with the other partner and lying to the other partner that all's well in the business. But then he leaves suddenly, and so do the clients and the resources and the contacts, and the partner's left bewildered and angry and hurt and overwhelmed and with a failing business.
Understandably. So how does forgiveness play out there, Lynn?
Okay. So the response could be, a reaction to the indignation and justification by taking the leaving partner to court and embarking on a long battle of blame.
And costly.
Shame. Yep. While pouring money into the legal system, yes. And the only one that gets rich the are lawyers. The lawyers. Yep. And this takes continued anger. You have to stay angry and unforgiving for this period of time. Mm. And you've got to be quite vengeful to keep the process going. And it's likely to take 2 to 3 years.
At least.
And it hurts them both and costs a lot of money. And yes. You can imagine what would happen to the business in the process.
So it's doing nothing for your forgiveness or assuaging that anger.
Yeah. So not only has the 18 months of this partner cheated on him, the 2 to 3 years later, that process is still in place. So the cheating partner has, you know, really been able to make a very long process.
And exerted a lot of power.
Yes.
Actually, at numbers of levels.
Yeah. So the reaction to another response could be a reaction to the anger and hostility towards the partner for cheating on them by bad-mouthing him to every person that comes across their way, including yes. clients, colleagues and other contacts. And that just makes the cheated partner look like a bad loser.
Mm.
And reacting to the abandonment by continually apologetic and ashamed to others that have left him and feeling like, you know, anytime someone's going to leave. And that makes the partner look like a victim.
Yes, yes.
So, again, not a great reaction. So they just seem to make it worse for the cheated partner. So the person who's been cheated on ends up feeling like they're a loser. They even feel like they're wasting time fighting rather than actually building their business.
So what is forgiveness going to look like here? How on earth do you deal with that? And also, as we've spoken before, what questions would you be asking yourself if that's a helpful way forward?
Okay, so if he takes himself out of the picture, he might ask the questions, what would I do if I wasn't hurt? So that's helpful. That takes the emotions out. Another one, what would I do if I wasn't angry? That again takes away the vengeance. And what would I do if I was feeling strong and good about myself and the whole issue of him leaving didn't affect me?
It's again another big call though.
Yes, a very big call. But remember, you don't actually have to agree with the questions.
Okay, you're raising an option.
Ask the questions yep. to give your brain a little bit of a break from the trauma.
Okay.
Okay, so when you get the answers, it gives you actions that take your reactions out of the picture. So it makes a list of behaviours that will help you to have a proactive response. You may not like the behaviours that it comes up with, but at least it gives you a list. It might well be there needs to be a court case. It could be that the court case is not, though, out of revenge or anger, but rather to move forward for both parties.
My proactive response could still be, I'm going to get him or her still.
Yeah. Well, yes, but it may be not with the anger behind.
Okay.
It might be this person needs to feel the consequences.
Yeah.
I'm no longer feeling like I need revenge because I'm okay, but he's not okay and it's okay.
There's power in that.
There's a lot of power yeah. in that. The important part of the process is that forgiveness takes us out of the picture and places us as observers of the situation. It then helps us to make steps towards the goal of forgiving the other person.
Yeah. Okay.
But in this situation, you get to the point of wishing them well. Wouldn't that be great in their own business? But at the same time, not being ready to invest or partner with them or even refer to them.
Never. No.
Yeah. But forgiveness means that the partner who's cheated on allows the other to be less defensive. And perhaps are more likely to own up to their own wrongdoing.
I'm sitting here hearing you and thinking and I can see what you're mean, but it's also probably going to take a great deal of personal strength from me and a lot of my own resources to start thinking and acting like this.
Yes, yes. And this is why in therapy we take this as a line of questioning that enables us to sort of unburden the person, and they can do that in tandem with us. So yeah. We find it really lovely to, again, like I said, asking that question means that instead of being confronted with someone in front of me who is angry and hurt and hostile and ready for revenge, I see the real person underneath.
Yes.
And that's when we can just start doing some work. And that's the person who's not traumatized by it all, but can look on the situation and go, yeah, that was really bad. Like, that was a really bad thing they did. They should face the consequences. But I don't need to be the person that is so angry and hostile that I wreck my own business in the process while I fight them.
And my own self.
And my own self.
Yeah.
And there are times when we need to be making decisions that say, I've actually got the energy to move forward, but I don't have the energy to move back. I don't have the energy to fight, but I have the energy to build the new business that I've got. And so that becomes a lovely segue into forgiveness. It's not necessarily I'm going to let them get away with it.
No.
But essentially, I'm not going to let them hurt me any longer.
And I can move forward in numbers of respects.
Numbers of respects, yes. You can move forward. But you can move forward by letting go of the hurt and the anger and the rejection that you felt in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's, no, it's not letting them get away with it. It's actually stopping them from hurting you some more.
What wonderful Worsley wisdom. That's number two in our series of forgiveness, and we wrap up next week. Lynn Worsley, thank you so much indeed for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. In our next conversation in the series, we wrap it all up with this. What about if you're the person who's done something wrong to someone else and you want their forgiveness? How do we do that? How do we say, or can we say, sorry? Head to the Resilience Centre website for an inspiring range of all our other podcasts and so many other great resources. www.theresiliencecentre.com.au